My name is Daniel Miller. I'm your servant host, and this is the Discipleship Conditioning Podcast. My name is Daniel Miller, your servant host, and today we have Matthew 27. We're getting close to the end here, and with that in mind, with two chapters left, I want to reemphasize some things that were stated in the last few episodes. One, we've decided to go to a membership model. We're not interested in millions of subscribers. There's no way I could have genuine relationship with each subscriber if that were the case. And so this task to continually get more downloads and more subscribers really just doesn't align with who I am as a person, my genuine nature, and what I feel called to do. What I feel called to do is be much more connected with a smaller grouping of people. And so by creating a membership offering, because we're going to be nowhere near a subscriber count that is going to warrant sponsorship or anything of that nature. But with the close to $1,000 a year this costs to produce this show, and that's not including my time, that's just including the monthly bills that are paid over the course of the year, there has to be a way for this to break even and to make sense. This is a part of our business. This isn't a hobby. This is a part of our business. And for that to make sense, it makes sense to create a membership model. I mentioned the membership model in episodes previously. It's also in the show notes. We have a free tier, we have a $12 tier, and we have a $212 tier. You can look those up and look and see what's included in each of those tiers. I think generously, we're still including a free option, because our heart goes out to those who can't afford the $12. A lot of people that listen to this show are college students in need of not only discipleship, but exercise science information. And so our heart still feels it necessary to provide a free option. Essentially, the person submits their email and they continue to get the RSS feed, the podcast feed. The $12 gets you exclusive episodes, and again, I'm not going to go into detail on all the offerings. You can see that in the show notes or the previous episodes. But the main reason why I mentioned this today is to also mention that instead of having, after reflective thought, instead of having discipleship conditioning membership where you pay $12 a month, and then a biblical anatomy membership where you pay $12 a month, we're just going to merge those back together, which is ironic because in August, it was just discipleship conditioning. And I actually split it into two podcasts because the topic matter was too different. And I'm glad I did that because what it did was give me focus when I'm recording discipleship conditioning to just focus on the Bible and life application. And then it gave me focus when I'm recording biblical anatomy to answer some of the most common ask questions as it pertains to anatomy and physiology from a biblical worldview. So I'm very glad that that happened, but ironically, we're now doing the opposite. We're going to merge it back together, but we're not going to go back to where we were at in August. We've learned some things. So every other week will be the rotation of the episodes. Even though everything's going to now fall under the biblical anatomy podcast umbrella, and discipleship conditioning is essentially going to go away, every other week will be Bible study in the same format that we've been doing here on discipleship conditioning. And every other week will be what you come to expect for biblical anatomy. This way, there's one membership. The tiers of free, 12, and 212. And you don't have to do two different memberships for both podcasts. It's all included in one. So in a way, it still acts like two separate podcasts, but they're all listed through the same membership and they're all listed through the same name. We'll keep the Discipleship Conditioning podcast up and sort of archived so you can go back and listen to. But beginning in Mark 1, you'll see the episodes show up under Biblical Anatomy. So if you're a follower of discipleship conditioning and you're not a follower of biblical anatomy, make sure you hop over to that. Make sure you also become a member so you have the exclusive RSS feed for that. I'll produce Matthew 27 right now and Matthew 28, and then I'll also produce a video that kind of recaps this and says the direction of the podcast, and we're still live, but find us over here. Because the Discipleship Conditioning podcast, as time goes on, is going to appear very dated, as if there is no new information. We know differently. We know there is new information, but it's just on the Biblical Anatomy podcast. Hopefully that makes sense. If it doesn't, please email me. My contact information is all over the place. I've probably spent too much time discussing that, and I always want to have at least as many words coming directly from the Bible as words that come out of my mouth. And that's probably a challenge that I fail every time, but it's a challenge that I continually strive for. So with that in mind, let's begin our Matthew 27 Bible study, and we're going to start with verses 9 and 10. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Again, I'm not a biblical scholar, so I won't dive into this in too much depth, but open up your Bible and find the connection with Jeremiah. There also is a connection with Zechariah, and I encourage you to look that up. About 10 verses later, in Matthew 27, verse 19, it reads, "Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." This is Pilate's wife, and in Matthew 27, we're discussing the crucifixion and the trial of Jesus. Here we're in the stages of the trial where Pilate is trying to figure out what he's going to do with it. It appears that Pilate wants nothing to do with Jesus, or nothing to do with the strife between the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious leaders of that time, and Jesus. Whether you're watching The Passion or another film or a show that depicts this, it's always interesting how they highlight Pilate's wife. And again, I'm not a biblical scholar, so I'm not going to dive into the weeds on her past. I don't know anything about her past. I've heard certain things, but it's interesting, and it points to one of our first episodes when we made the transition back in August, and that was to women and the importance of women. And our wives are reflections of us, and oftentimes they point out our shortcomings and what we should be in relation to what we're not living up to. And I think this is a prime example of that, where Pilate's wife is saying, "Have nothing to do with this man." This is apparently she had a dream in relation to that. It'd be obviously interesting and a question for heaven as to what that dream was about. And Pilate, as we see here, unfortunately does not listen to his wife, the wise counsel of his wife. A few verses later in verse 23, Matthew 27, 23, it reads, "And he said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they shouted all the more, 'Let him be crucified.'" Again, Pilate is trying to get out of the situation. He doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. It appears at this point to almost be following the wisdom of his wife, but we know that he doesn't. The next couple verses in 24 and 25, it reads, "So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.' And the people," and all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." That's incredibly impactful. So Pilate's basically undergoing a ritual where he thinks that he is deeming himself innocent of this, even though he's still facilitating the act that the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't. And then directly thereafter, we see that the people that are persecuting Jesus are saying, yeah, it's no big deal. His blood's going to be on us and our children. Just do what we want you to do. Basically saying anything for the job to be completed, which is incredible, incredible. If you're like me, you've read cover to cover to the Bible. If you're also like me and you're a human being, you don't remember the intricacies because this is a pretty big book that we have here. And frankly, I don't remember that verse, 25. I don't remember that verse from my previous times going through the Bible in Matthew. This also points to something that I think is important. My linear thinking oftentimes would direct me to read through the Bible, cover to cover. And I've accomplished that three times, sometimes through audiobook, so I suppose that doesn't count. But nevertheless, three times. Oftentimes, I would start, so obviously I've started more than three times and failed numerous times. And so in the beginning, Genesis, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Numbers, Joshua, all these early books, read through those numerous times and then sort of petered out throughout the course of the year. I say this to mention there are a lot of Bible studies that you can go through in 365 days. I've tried those myself. For me personally, they've never worked. So I'll briefly share with you what does work for me, and it's what you're seeing on this podcast, and it's what I encourage you and hope to encourage you to do yourself. The reason why we were recording a podcast every 7 days is because I go through one chapter of the Bible 7 consecutive days. And while there are times that I falter and I wake up too late, or like a sinful human being, I put other priorities in front of the Bible, I at least read 3 times in those 7 days. Much more frequently, it's 4 times, it's 5 times, it's 6 times. And on my best weeks, it's 7 times. But what that does for me is it takes the content and it sort of bathes me in it between 3 and 7 times, depending on the week. And that has really helped me deepen my knowledge of each chapter and retain as much as possible. So your brain's not exactly the same as mine. We fundamentally have the same pieces of our brain, the same lobes and those sorts of things. But the way we learn is going to be slightly different. That's something that sounds like it may work for you. I encourage you to do it. As my advice as an educator of many, many years, I have found for myself as a learner as well as for students that the key to acquisition of knowledge isn't reinventing the wheel. It's not learning one way and then another way and then another way and then another way. It is finding what works and simply repeating the process. So for me, in written text, which is always hard to decipher, always hard to get into my brain, I'm much more of a kinesthetic learner and much more of a visual learner, but we need to read directly from God's word, not rely on TV shows, not rely on movies, not rely on videos, not even rely on podcasts like this. This podcast is a supplement for you, fantastic, but by no means should it be a replacement. You need to be in God's word. And so, tough luck. If it's hard for you to read and understand, tough luck. Figure it out. Read through and find the best avenue for you to obtain that knowledge by reading through the text, whether it's reading out loud, reading in a funny accent, having something read to you by a spouse, or there's all sorts of apps these days that'll read the Bible to you and repeat the process over and over. I would not suggest one of those 365-day plans and reading through a chapter or 4 chapters all in one sitting and then not touching that for potentially 1 year. Odds are you're not going to remember that content. Now, what I'm recommending, how many years is that going to take you? I think it takes about 23 years if you go on a 7-day cycle. But those 23 years are going to pass regardless. And I can think of no better way than marinating deeply, almost 3-dimensionally, in God's word, as opposed to just skimming the surface over and over. Just my 2 cents, and probably too much there, but that's what I do. And it has really helped me grasp many of the verses and recall many of the verses and the lessons to be learned in God's word. We're going to jump forward about 20 verses here to 44. So Matthew 27, verse 44 reads, "And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." Here they are, these robbers, one on each side, right? That are being crucified along with him. And they join the mob. They join everybody else in mocking him. And as we'll find out later, and it doesn't depict completely in Matthew, I believe it's Luke, that it describes more of the robber on the right. More of that. But as we'll find a little bit later here in Matthew 27 and later in Luke, that the robbers oftentimes are depicted as sort of like a good and an evil robber, one that remains and one that basically says, "Remember me on this day," and we'll get into that in a later time. This is also part of the reason why I like reading the Bible 7 days straight, or at least 3 days on my worst weeks, is because I read stuff and then I recall something that I've heard or read before, and I try and find where is it at in Matthew, and that's how I observed and found that it's actually in Luke. So anyways, we'll talk about that in due time. The next two verses, 45 and 46. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Forgive me for my mispronunciation there. But what an impactful prophecy fulfillment in so many ways, and what an amazing event. We say, now the sixth hour, there was a darkness. I believe this goes to about noon to 3 p.m., so basically in the highlight of the day when there should be the most sunshine out there. For there to be darkness over all the land, and not just a cloud coming in front of the sun, but darkness over all the land, and as we'll see later, to have the earthquake that accompanies and the torn veil and all these different things that accompany, it makes me wonder the mental processes of some of the people that were here local to this event to think, oh my gosh, what have we done? What is taking place? Immediate regret, to horribly simplify those feelings and those thoughts. In 52 and 53, we read, "The tombs also were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Lately, I've been presenting a lot as a non-biblical scholar a verse that I need your help on, and this would be the set of verses that I need your help on. If anybody has any interpretation of 52 and 53, I would love to hear your thoughts. A couple verses later, 54 and then 56. "When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" This is kind of what I'm getting to. And it's interesting that there's a centurion mentioned here, because in Matthew, what was it? Five, six, seven, somewhere in there. There was also the faith of the centurion. Now, doubtful this is the same centurion, but for it to be someone who is in the Roman side of things to be so impacted in that way to recognize Jesus as God. In 56, "Among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the son of Zebedee." This is interesting just to think of, as I'd mentioned last week, who was with him and who had fled. His 12 disciples that were with him, obviously Judas being a different reason, but for the other 11, they left and they were gone. But who remained with him? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and then the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It's interesting to witness who was there. Last three verses for us, 62 through 64. "The next day, that is, after the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, He has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. We're going to see next week in, or 2 weeks, we're doing every 14 days now, Matthew 28, they're going to continue this hypocrisy and they're going to continue this pattern of wickedness in just these made up stories that we have in trying to show that they have the right line of thinking. It's almost like they believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and yet they still were trying to cover tracks. I wonder if they didn't believe how hard they would have worked to cover their tracks. I don't think they would have worried about it at all, but it's almost as if something deep inside them said, this is truly the Son of God, or at least enough to say, just in case, that makes me believe that there was at least an ounce of belief in there that this is possible. And to have an ounce of belief that this is possible, and to still have not only gone through the trial and all the persecution that they did, as we've seen in these last few chapters, but then to try and cover it up thereafter, to me, that boggles my small brain. Let me know your thoughts. I'm thankful that you've joined me this week. Again, we're going every 14 days now, so I won't see you for a Bible study for another 14 days, and then we'll do Matthew 28. That will again be the last deposit, if you will. It's a weird way to say it. Deposit of an episode into Discipleship Conditioning. Mark 1 will appear in Biblical Anatomy, so make sure you're switched over to Biblical Anatomy in that amount of time. It'd be a good idea to subscribe to both podcasts at this point in time until we fully transition over to just Biblical Anatomy. Again, that's going to continue to air on Wednesdays, just as Discipleship Conditioning has for quite some time now. And we're going to have something released every 7 days, but again, it's going to alternate. Every 14 days will be a Bible study, and then the opposite 14 days will be Biblical Anatomy. Thank you for your time. We love you, and we wish you nothing but the best. We want to sincerely thank you for listening to today's episode and conclude properly with the Lord's Prayer. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Brother, thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that this show is bringing you joy, it's bringing you peace, it's increasing your proximity to God, and it's helping you add on serious muscle mass. That's what God's provided us the gift to do. It's to understand how the human body works, to put as much muscle on it as possible, which we understand is a unique challenge, not present to everyone, but it's a challenge that's present to you and I. And so we hope that today's episode and all episodes are encouraging you and helping you in that endeavor. Now, if you're like me and you're listening to this part of the episode, you probably are the type that has to listen to the entire episode or it doesn't count. Or maybe you're just stuck in traffic and you can't turn the podcast episode off at this point in time. Or maybe you are like me and when you read a book, you have to read the entire book, including the copyright information. I know, it's a silly, silly endeavor. But we are the way that we are, and God made us perfectly. We are the only creation of His that is made in His image. And with that in mind, I'd like to encourage you further and provide you a couple resources that will be of immense benefit for you. The first is a one repetition maximum calculator. This calculator is made through a spreadsheet, and it's laid out very well for you to estimate how strong that you have got over a specific period of time. There is a video on this landing page as well that'll instruct you how to use it, but if you need further instruction, please go to our homepage at biblicalanatomyacademy.com and schedule a coffee session with me where we can talk about the one repetition maximum calculator. To get the one repetition maximum calculator, you'll want to go to biblicalanatomyacademy.com/1RM. You'll enter in your name and email, and you'll get access immediately to the spreadsheet that we have created. Also of value would be a template to get you started as you begin to design new programs to break through plateaus as we instruct. This program that we have, this template, utilizes all the percentages that we preach and we believe is the best tool for you to break through those plateaus. You can access it at biblicalanatomyacademy.com/template. You enter your name and email and you'll get an immediate download for the spreadsheet that we have created that allows you to put any of your exercises in, any of those one repetition maximums in, and use the document for success long term. Again, if you need assistance with either of those spreadsheets, the one repetition maximum calculator or the template we have created at Biblical Anatomy Academy, please go to our homepage at biblicalanatomyacademy.com, scroll down, and click the green button for coffee, and we'd be happy to meet with you over a cup of coffee, or water, or pre-workout, or a protein shake, whatever suits you best, so we can instruct you moving forward in life, in fitness, and in love. We thank you for being here. We thank you for listening all the way to the conclusion. We hope that you listen to a further episode and enjoy, and we hope to have future correspondence with you. God bless, and we love you.